Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we are grateful for another opportunity to meet with you on the radio, trusting that the Lord is working mightily in your life. Now, you may not understand how He is working, but He is. He is working, and He always will work in the lives of His little redeemed ones. The Lord does not leave us alone. The very moment you are saved, the Lord has begun a work in you, and He will finish that work. He will perform that work until the Lord Jesus returns to take us unto Himself, or until we shall out of this body and go to be with Him. The book we would like to summarize today is the book of Zechariah. And Zechariah is one of those prophets. Very little is known concerning him. He prophesied during a time when there were other prophets. There are some prophets who prophesied seemingly alone, but this is one who prophesied during the time that after the exile and when they had returned to the land. Haggai had the prophet's prophecy concerning the temple. Zechariah will focus on the return of the Messiah. And some of this that he spoke is going to be quoted concerning the Lord Jesus when he returns the second time. So the prophet does deal with local issues. He deals with those things that are wrong in the people's lives. But he looks beyond that. And how can we say that? We can see the quotations that the Lord Jesus had and of the New Testament, quotations in the New Testament concerning the Messiah, Christ the King, coming. When we look at the prophecy of Zechariah, the scriptures give to us some information about the characters, the people that Zechariah has to address. He is talking about the hope that is going to come. There will definitely be hope. This is one of the longer books of the minor prophets. In fact, it is the longest of the minor prophets. And he deals with, again, those events that are going to come concerning the Lord's return. He sees that when Messiah comes and steps his foot upon the earth, when he steps his foot on the holy land, what's going to happen there. Also, he talks about the measuring line, the myrtle tree, the cleansing of the high priest, how that the word of God means, the meaning of the word of God, the chariots. And he is portraying Christ coming in lowliness. Now, remember, this was a message that was not acceptable. The people who were being oppressed didn't want to have a meek and lowly Messiah. They wanted one who was mighty and powerful, who could deliver them from the oppression of the Romans many years later than when the prophecy was given. And he is coming meek and lowly, but he is the Prince of Peace, the one who owns peace, the author of peace, the one from whom peace flows, the one who is able to bring in peace with power. That's the Lord Jesus. Now, any kind of peace that we know of today is brought on as long as one has great power. When the wicked are in power, they have peace, but the people over which they rule do not have peace. But when the Lord Jesus comes and brings peace, there will be peace in the land. And it speaks of the crucifixion of the Lord and of the title that he has as the shepherd. Father, we ask for the blessings of the Lord again upon the word of God. Bless your people, we pray, in the message today. Strengthen us and help us to be bold. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. Now, in Genesis chapter 43, if you will recall, the famine had increased in the land, and the people in the land were in need of food, and they had but one source, and that was in Egypt. And the people of the Lord turned to the world for their food. There is going to come another famine, prophetically speaking, in the book of the Revelation, in which men will not be able to buy nor sell except they receive the mark of the beast. And that is the way that people are going to get their food, is that they receive the mark of the beast. They have to go to the world. But there will be some. Now, unlike that one, the Lord orchestrated this famine in Genesis 40 and following, that he did this for a purpose. It doesn't tell us all of his purpose, but the Lord is in charge of the weather. It's not that he is telling what kind of weather it's going to have. There is nothing that moves that does not have its power from the Lord. And Nahum 1 tells us that the Lord has his way in the whirlwind. So no storm can arise without God's power. And no weather element can affect us without having its energy to do so from the Lord. So this famine has become sore in the land, and the people are now in more need of more food. They have just run out of their supply that they have gotten from Egypt, a type of the world, and they now need to go back and get more food. It's as though Jacob is saying, maybe this man who gave you these rules for getting more food is not going to live up to what he said. But Judah knows differently. In verse 8 of Genesis 43, and Judah said unto Israel his father, because, see, they had to take the young man. Judah now is in charge and going to go back and get the food. So Judah has spoken to his father and told his father, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And now Judah is telling his father again. The father has told him, don't stand around here looking at each other. Go down in Egypt, get some food. We need more. And that's one thing that we do. We have to have food each day. And that's when we pray the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we have often called it. Give us this day our daily bread. We're praying for it. We go to the Lord daily. So there's a daily need to rely on the Lord, the food that he provides. Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me. We will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. He says, I will be surety for him. Now let me take your youngest son, Benjamin, with me. And we'll go down into this land to get more food, even though this man has said that, even though Jacob, rather, is concerned that his favorite son, Benjamin, is going to be taken from him. He said, no, please, don't let him go and in the land. And he says in verse 9, Judah says, I will be surety for him of my hand, shalt thou require him. Now remember, Judah is the line through which Christ Jesus the Lord came. Judah is going to offer himself. He says, if I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. But when Reuben spoke of this, Reuben spake and said unto his father, saying, slay my two sons if I bring him not unto thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. Reuben was willing to offer up two sons. Judah was willing to offer up himself to bear the blame. Now that is what the Lord Jesus did. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And he says, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. And many times there are things that we know we must do, and we delay, and we wait, and we wait, and we never do get them done because, well, we are hoping that things will change. But in this case, it wasn't going to change. Verse 11, "And their father Israel said unto him, If it must be so now, do this. Take the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, and nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again into your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your brother, your other brother, and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." Now, he has his favorite son that he's going to have to give, but he thinks that by him giving a gift, by him exchanging a gift and showing kindness, that this is going to have some weight on the decision that is about to be made. That's very much like people when the gospel is presented. They feel as though they, well, let me exchange something with the Lord. I can't let the Lord save me without me doing something. No, you don't have salvation if you thought that you had a part in helping God save you. Salvation is of the Lord, not of you. It's not an exchange program. If we were able to exchange our salvation, exchange some product, and say to the Lord, I'll give you this if you give me salvation. And many people think that. They think, I made a real sacrifice. I suffered and reared my children. Like one man said one time in caring for his ailing wife, he had taken up his cross and was caring for his sick wife. That's not a cross. That's an obligation. He promised to do that. He took an oath when he said he would care for his wife in sickness and in health. There is he doesn't get a medal for doing that. The crowd doesn't cheer him on. A mother who takes care of her baby doesn't expect for the crowd to cheer her on. No, this is a duty. It is a duty. Now, of course, the people who receive the benefits and the blessings of that duty are grateful, are to be grateful. And sometimes children will be ungrateful and say to their parents, but it was your duty to raise me. It was your duty to feed me. They're telling the truth, but it's not their place to tell the parent that. That's disrespectful for them to have that attitude and disrespecting the Lord and how they're doing what they're doing. Well, now you don't exchange with the Lord in order to get salvation. There is nothing you can bring. Now, I do see that Israel or Jacob did have, can we call it a grateful heart? Well, I think he was wanting to still be in charge and hoping that this would make things work for him. Well, it wasn't that, and we'll see later on, that made it so that the son, they are protected. Father, we ask for the blessings of the Lord upon today's message. Speak to our hearts, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. The address to which you may write if you wish is WMUU Incorporated, 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greenville, 29609.